Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, Jackie. Sorry to interrupt you over there talking.
We were discussing guns.
Guns?
Yeah.
Okay.
We hadn't gotten to who to shoot yet, but we got guns.
Well, I can nominate a few people. Good morning, everybody. This is Ursel and Jackie and Rissy and Holly over here in the corner behind us.
No, our cowgirl wore her pink boots today. Woohoo!
I didn't notice that. Yeah. She's our EMS, Holly is, yeah. and she's also the assistant clocker when we get busy.
Listen, cowgirls can do anything.
Cowgirls can do anything. Well, we were at the Thoroughbred Center. We weren't too busy this morning. We've got a sloppy track.
It's soupy.
Well, it rained here, Jackie. Yesterday afternoon. Okay, Tiffany wants something out there.
Yes, ma'am.
Somebody always wants something around here. Anyway, what are we going to do today? I don't know. David Atkins is going to stop by. David trains out here, and he's going to come by about 11, start the next hour. And he's got a couple of nice old horses out here, a 7-year-old named Curses and Blessings, and a 5-year-old named Some Kind of Trouble. And both these horses won about $200,000 each.
Oh.
A little over $200,000 each. And they're both starter allowance horses.
Yeah.
And they go, you know, a mile and a quarter is a little bit short for them. But, you know, from there on, watch out.
That's the thing. What was the name of that starter allowance specialist that won 19 in a row the other day, his 19th?
Oh.
What the heck is his name?
I know, we'll watch the race up
there. Retchigate Reckick or something. I don't know his
name. Yeah, he's got an odd name. He's won 19 in a row now.
Yes.
And he won the last one. We watched it. Wired to Field going a mile up at, or a mile and the 16th in Laurel. At Laurel.
At Laurel, yes.
Yeah. Can't remember his name now, doggone it.
I can't either.
Yeah. But he's fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And he just goes to the front. And
19 in a row. One more.
What?
And his conditions run out December 31st.
Yeah.
So he's got, 2 months to be the all-time if he wins the next one. Boy, I'd find something easy somewhere. Running for a tag.
He'd have to pop up at Beulah Park. Huh?
Yeah, that's what I'd do.
Well, he's running in those starters allowances, but his conditions are going to run out on those things. You know.
Yeah, you have to have started for a claiming price of a certain amount within 2 years. Their rules up there say 2 years. Are they still a year here? I don't know. So, okay, if it's January the 1st and you run for $5,000 and nobody takes your horse, you have got the option for a year or two to run against other horses that have run for $5,000
mm-hmm.
for 2 years. And it winnows out the field, you know, and they can't claim them. Their starter.
So what you have to do is sneak a pretty good horse by somebody.
That's what we did. It works, and then you've got a pretty good shot.
I think what David did is done that too. Some Kind of Trouble. I think maybe he might have claimed him somewhere down the line,
right?
But I believe he's had Curses and Blessings the whole time, and the horse has run a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I've got the PPs on him over here. I don't want to talk too much about him before the show. Curses and Blessings run 52 times.
Don't you love it?
I love that little horse, too.
I'll tell
a story about him, but I'll wait till David gets here.
I've got a couple
of stories I can tell. He's a puppy dog,
yeah.
The horse is.
That's wonderful.
He's a pet.
Yeah. And, can I interrupt in speaking of pets?
You always do.
You'd think he'd be used to it by now, wouldn't you? But I guess not. A friend of mine, Kathy Calvert, called me the other day. Some lady rescued a horse in Cincinnati that she used to years ago drive a carriage horse downtown for years, 20-something years. And she rescued him in 2009, and he was skin and bones. You should see the pictures. It's horrifying. She cleaned him all up, and she got him fat and happy and used him as a pony horse at River Downs. And one day he got run into. Well, that happens, but he's now 29. And they're moving. They're gone. They're at the farms, and Kathy can't take another one. And it's at Cleveland Bay. And it's a nice old wonderful horse. He's a gelding, of course. He's 29. If anybody needs a pasture pet, give me a call. Because it'd be a shame for this old boy. He's been rescued once. It'd be a shame not to, you know, to put him on the killer truck. So, anyway, my number is 749-7122. If anybody needs a pasture pet.
All righty. Well, David, as I get back talking about David Atkins, he's going to come by and we're going to talk about curses and blessings and some kind of trouble. And I've known David for several years out here, and we'll find out a little bit about him, too. Nice guy. Dr. Doug Byers is going to come by today. Dr. Pete Pryor stood in for him last week, Doug's back. Michael Blowen, I don't think we'll have to call Michael today, Ressie. He's out signing autographs at Tractor Supply. Yeah, post office. Autographing his picture.
Yeah.
At the post office. Anyway, Tractor Supply. They ran an article on him, they put out a magazine.
Yeah, our Tractor Supply was out of.
I don't know which Tractor Supply. I don't know which one he's in. So
we'll call him.
Probably in Georgetown.
Yeah, Ursa and I looked for it. We went out on. We have date night on Thursday. We have a babysitter. We went out and got supper, and then went to Tractor Supply. Big night out. Big night. My favorite store.
What a couple of hicks, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll try to get Steve Moody on this week. This is the last day of Keeneland, of course, with a Fed handicap. And I'm still doing older horses from 1957. And Swoon Son and
the rate you're going, you're never going to catch up.
Well, I know it. That's all right. Dedicate. I think I'll do Dedicate this week if I can get to him. Read some Joe Palmer if I have time.
Oh, good.
And I almost forgot. The winners out of here, the Thoroughbred Center. Since last week, we've had 11 winners. And
good.
From the training center that won races elsewhere. Let's see. What was last week? 22nd. Yeah, okay. John Langemeyer won with Miss Dangerous up at Hoosier. Jim Dodgen won with Henneyville Slugger out at Keeneland. The next day, Wayne Mogie won with Little Miss Smarty K also at Keeneland. Jimmy Cargan won with Campton down in Mountaineer. That was on the 23rd. The next day, which was I assume the 24th. Jimmy won with El Diablo down at Mountaineer.
They're going to give him a part of that track. He's their best customer.
They hate to see him coming, I think. Tommy Skinner won with Transaction down at Mountaineer that same night. Paul Garcia won with Natama's Light. He went up to Beulah Park to break her maiden. I think it was a maiden race. Let's see. Where did I leave off? Bill March. I don't know Bill. He trains, and here's an oxymoron for you. The horse's name is Ethical Lawyer.
Yeah, that's true.
And David Atkins, who's going to be on the show with us, he won, I think it was a mile and a half starter or a mile and five-eighths with some kind of trouble down at Mountaineer. Scooter Hughes won it with Keeneland, out of Keeneland with Woody and Wise. That thing paid $96.
How about that? Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Tracy owns part of that.
Yeah, Tracy's his wife.
Yeah.
And Matt Strait rode him.
Yeah, that's super.
Yeah. Matt's a good rider.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. And then last night at Mountaineer, Jimmy Cargan won with another one down at Mountaineer, landed on the moon. How many is this? One, two, three races this week? Jimmy's won.
Yeah, that's three.
At the mountain, you know.
I'm telling you. He owns that place. I mean it. Oh, you know, I was telling you about that horse that needs a home. He's not just a pasture pet. You can ride him and drive him. They took him up, I think, last summer to River Downs and used him in some kind of thing, pulling a cart, for some kind of celebration.
Is that right?
Yeah. He's in real good health. Yeah. But they can't believe that they have to go.
Well, gee whiz.
I asked Kathy to take him. She's taking two donkeys, a pig, and a goat.
Put him in a backyard. She lives over on Shinnewee.
Yeah, attention, Chevy Chase. Pay attention.
Well, Last Sunday at Keeneland, the $125,000 Rude and Riddle Dowager Stakes was won by Sonata, a four-year-old filly of a pulpit. 4 days earlier, the Firethorn Stakes at Belmont went to Hymnbook, a five-year-old son of Arch. Bred by Stone Farm and sold as a yearling at Keeneland for $800,000, Sonata has placed in the Grade 3 Glen Falls at Saratoga in her last start, so you can add Sonata's name to the long list of high-class stakes winners by pulpit, a list that includes 10 USA Grade 1 stakes winners and such outstanding sires as Tappet, Sky Mesa, and Stroll. Hymnbook, bred and owned by Stuart S. Janney III, and of course raised at Claiborne, has also won the 3 Coins Up Stakes at Belmont this year, and he ran second to Flat Out, a son of the Claiborne Farm sire Flatter, in the Grade 2 Suburban. He is one of 13 2011 stakes horses by Arch, as his Grade 1 stakes winner Arch, Animal Spirits, recent winner of Keenan's Grade 3 Bourbon Stakes, Too Clever for Words, winner of the Grade 3 Stage Door Betty Stakes, Alora Michelle, winner of the listed P.G. Johnson Stakes at Saratoga, and 3 stakes winners in Europe. Pulpit's 2012 stud fee is $50,000. Arch is to stand for $30,000, and the fees to all Claiborne stallions are due when the foal stands in nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are 2 names to remember in the horse business: the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
And, of course, Indian Creek's going to have another nice consignment of broodmares and weanlings, and broodmare and racing prospects are going to be out at Keeneland in the sales out there. So more about them next week. Well, Bob and John is the sire of 9 2-year-old winners, including a stakes winner in his first crop to race. 8 others have placed and are just sitting on wins. 5 of the 8 placed in their very first starts and 3 in their second starts. Now, one of his placed juveniles, Mike and Rob, was second by neck in a maiden special at Belmont on October 23, and another, Fast Bobby, was second by nose in a maiden special at Keeneland on October the 21st. It is noteworthy that the Bob and Johns are coming out running at 2, because Bob and John, although he won and placed in Grade 1 stakes as a 2-year-old, excelled around 2 turns. He won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial at 9 furlongs. He won the Grade 3 Sham Stakes also at 9 furlongs. And the Grade 3 Lone Star Park Handicap at 1/16. He earned over $996,000. So, with the 2-year-old races and just now beginning to stretch out, watch for the Bob and Johns. Bob and John is a Grade 1 stakes winner by Seeking the Gold, out of Graded Stakes Winner Minister's Melody by Deputy Minister, and he stands at Pin Oak Stud with the stallions Broken Vow, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. Inquiries to Clifford Berry. See the website, pinoakstud.com.
The horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's...
All right, Jackie, want to start in on your announcements?
My announcements. Finish Line Farms is having, what's today, the 29th, the Attack and Farm Supply Sale out at their farm, 5508 Russell Cave. It's about a half mile past Lemons Mill on the right, and look for a sign and a red barn, and they've got 20-foot hydraulic chain harrow, heavy duty. That's a big one. No wonder it has a hydraulic on it, because that's heavy. They got a 94 F-150 Ford truck. Now, you know, an F-150, that's like new for a Ford truck, 94. Yeah. I think it's only 18 years old. That's nothing for a Ford truck. They got field waterers, Huh. Wonder if they're automatic waterers. They have feed tubs, a horse vacuum cleaner. I'd like to have that. Heated water buckets.
They could do the living room with it.
Yeah, I know. Yuck, yuck. And they got bridles, B-I-R. This is what happens when you don't pay attention for spell check.
Yeah.
B-I-R-D-A-L-S.
Oh, that's okay.
But isn't that funny? Bits, skirts, harnesses, saddles, saddle blankets, winter horse blankets, boots. Wonder if they're horse boots or people boots. A trunk and miscellaneous grooming tools. That's at three. That's three till three this afternoon, out on the Russell Cave.
Yeah, just past Lemon's Mill out there on the right.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is from my good friend Dave Schweitzer over at the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. Winners of stakes races last year that were foaled in Kentucky, and the names of the breeders. I tell you what, though, not many stakes last week. Well, there were a bunch of stakes, but they were all restricted to Illinois breds and Louisiana breds and Pennsylvania breds and New York breds, and so, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of opportunities. They just ran two graded stakes last week, and Kentucky breds won one of them.
Good.
So 50%. 50% is the greatest stakes running. We're full of
Kentucky. He knows what to say, doesn't he?
That was right out here at Keeneland. The grade 3 Pin Oak Valley View stakes went to Daisy Divine, bred by Riley McDonald. Riley, of course, over on Mount Horeb Road out there. He's got the old Lee Eaton farm out there, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, down by the creek.
Yeah.
The Jean Lafitte stakes, how about that? Does that impress you?
Oh, I'm impressed. Nothing like hard boot French.
The Jean Lafitte stakes at Delta Downs went to my Adonis, bred by the K&G stable. The Frank J. DeFrancis Memorial Dash at Law, Candyman E, bred by Nelson Bunker Hunt. The Rude and Riddle Dowager stakes out of Keenan Sonata by Pulpit. Bred by Arthur Hancock over at Stone Farm. And the Uniformity Stakes at Santa Anita. Irish Art won that. That's an Artie Shaw. First three-year-old from the first crop by Artie Shaw, Irish Art, who's doing very well over at Windstar. Liberation Farm, John Stewart, Peter Banson, Jay Donaldson bred that one. The Firethorn Stakes at Belmont winner, Hymnbook, who's one of eight stakes winners this year by Arch. Bred by Stuart S. Janney III, and of course raised at Claiborne Farm. And the Joey Blue Eye Stakes at Calder. And I guess this would be Duke Duke, D-U-C, D-U-C, or Duck Duck, Duke Duke, something like that. Anyway, my friend Bill Harrigan's got a place. His farm also over on Mount Horeb. Bill bred that one in partnership with the 12 Gates Racing. All righty.
I'm not waving at just anybody. Doc just pulled in.
Well, good. All righty.
Okay, here's one, since Doc's coming. Got a thing in the email that the Lexington Diagnostic Center has confirmed 23 cases of Potomac horse fever. So, more every year. Just wanted to remind everybody to include that in their vaccination. Most people vaccinate first of the year.
Then ask Doc about that.
Yeah, ask Doc when he gets up here. If you haven't been vaccinated, if you've been vaccinated before, you just get one. But if you haven't, then you get a booster a month after the initial vaccination. So, we'll show him that.
Yeah, okay. Maybe we have an educated comment about it
instead of
us blathering about.
Idiots.
A couple of idiots, yeah. Hey, Doc. Hey.
Come in.
Good
come
morning.
In, come in, have a seat.
We got something we want to ask you, just as you
right off the bat.
Trouble. Already?
Already. Hey. Sad,
you got your
it?
Glasses? Can you read this? Oh, hell, his arms aren't long enough.
I always leave the glasses in the car, and I get chewed out by my wife.
These are good if you want some. Potomac fever.
Yeah.
Any comments?
That was it. Yep. Okay, moving right along.
That was profound, Doc.
Now,
that's kind of old news now, because I brought that up probably about a month ago, that they're seeing more Potomac fever cases.
You don't think I can remember something from a month ago?
Well, thank goodness.
What's today?
Yeah, right. We talked about it, and we said that, snails
are the culprit.
Well, I remember
that. I remember that now.
Yep. Snails, I remember.
Thank you. Thank you.
I haven't seen many snails running about lately.
We don't have a lot of it.
There's a couple of horses out here.
Right. We talked about treating them with tetracycline, and we talked about, you know, what to do.
Yeah, I remember that now.
I think the main thing about it is it's just that they got a fever, Potomac fever, and the bug is what we call a rickettsia. And if you get the diagnostic lab to do the testing for it, seems like they always get sick. They don't want to eat. They got a fever. They may or may not have diarrhea at all. Blood work usually has a low white count, but it usually happens on a Friday. So you're not going to know the results, and the tetracycline is almost like an antidote. So the veterinarian should just give it. Don't wait 3 days, 4 days.
It isn't going to hurt them.
It isn't going to hurt them. A single shot, and a lot of times it just turned them around. A lot of the veterinarians from Potomac Valley say that, you know, it's almost like giving an antidote. They just get better.
That's great.
So, and then the other thing, big question is vaccines. The vaccination, there is a vaccine for it, but it doesn't work well enough that even the people in Potomac Valley vaccinate for it. Too many different strains.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I remember that now.
Yeah. Okay.
Now that you review it.
Well, I just took your exam for you, you know, your midterm.
I guess I flunked it, you know. I always needed help in my exam. Starting at about the third grade.
Well, and now the one thing they need to respect, and then we'll talk about giving that tetracycline, you don't fool around. Tetracycline has got a reputation for encouraging salmonella, and that's probably not a valid reputation. But these Potomac fever horses will founder.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest, and that's how they wind up at the diagnostic lab. They don't die from the diarrhea or anything.
Yeah.
They get laminitis that's so bad, that's how they wind up there. Yeah. So.
Well, our buddy Michael Blowing got left at the post today, huh?
He had one of his horses, Marquetry. He called me this morning, was colic badly. He sent it over to Dr. Sprayberry, and I just stopped there on my way to take a look, and he looks potentially to me like he would be a surgical candidate.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's in pretty tough.
Nuts.
Maybe he'll get better, but he was laying down and, you know, trying to get him to get up, and he won't get up.
Oh.
And so I said, if you get him up, you know, put your arm in him and see if he's got distended bowel, because he's probably going to need to go to surgery. And, and if the surgery's complicated, I told Michael I wouldn't put the horse through a...
Not at his age.
He's 23, and you know, I think in reality, if he needs a resection, which is connecting two pieces of bowel.
Yeah.
Anastomosing those together. If those things in older horses leak at all, they get adhesions.
Yeah.
And so then 6 months later, he's
gone.
Colicking again, you know. So he'd be depends on what they find. I'd say there's no test as good as a good surgeon looking inside.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what makes the surgeon so cocky, because he always gets the opportunity to look inside, so they know the right answer.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody else is guessing,
but
they're so much smarter than we are. You know? So because of that,
you know, one time, Dr. McGee had a horse, a stallion with colic, couldn't get up, would not get up. They brought in a mare that was ready. She was ready to be bred. And he smelled her. They brought him right up, and that horse jumped up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was, I thought that was pretty smart.
Ain't sex grand.
Same thing we did when we were 13.
I can't remember that far back.
Good thing. Your conscience is clear.
Well, my favorite breeding shed story comes out of Michael Osborne. We all remember Michael from North Ridge Farm and then went over to Darley. Before that, he had been at the Irish National Stud. I may have told this story, but it's worth telling again.
Yeah, lie about it, Doc.
Yeah. Come on. Get out of here.
He got a call from one of the senators in Dublin that had this dignitary from France that wanted to come out and see this famous stallion that had raced in France. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to see the stallion, and Michael said, that's fine. He said, well, he would also like to see him breed a mare. Never seen a horse breed a mare. And so the guy didn't know anything about horses, but that's what he wanted. So Michael said, well, I'll see what we can find. Well, the only mare they could find, it was the evilest, meanest. She was in heat, but she was, you know, always a terror. So this dignitary arrived, and Michael and the senator from Dublin and the dignitary from France are all standing there, and they've got this mare hobbled, twitched, ear. They've got 6-7 guys. They've got everything they can do. Well, in comes the stallion, and he's snorting and putting on a bit of a show. And as soon as he did that, why, this mare does a tizzy. And she winds up on the ground, flat out. And they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. So this dignitary goes over to Michael and says, what happens now? Does he lie beside her? True story.
Oh, funny. That is great.
I want to provide the comedy since Michael's not here. So. Well, and I also got the frustration trying to get over here, and I hope there's some bike club people out there listening. They take up a whole lane. There's 40, 50 of them abreast, and they won't move.
Yeah.
And it just, the rudest group, now some of them get the message and move over.
Yeah.
So, over here on Ironworks, I went by about 40, 50 of them, and the trailing ones moved over.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them weren't going to move for anything. So I finally had a chance to pass, but they're so far over, I honked my horn.
Yeah.
And I honked it a couple times just because some of them drift.
Yeah.
And boy, I got yelled at.
Oh.
And I just feel like, boy, they ought to be ticketed for impeding traffic.
It is. Mm. It's terrible.
And you got a horse trailer or something like that, and you're trying to get around that group.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful to get on these country roads and look at our scenery, but.
Well, that's the
have
joke.
A courtesy.
I think they ought to get on the interstate myself.
Yeah, right.
No.
And go the wrong way.
It'd be one thing if they looked. But they're riding racing bikes. Right. Their butts in the air, their heads down, and they're watching the pavement because they all think they're in the French.
Or they're talking to somebody. And, and you know, I've had them where you're coming up on a hill and a couple of breasts and they're talking to each other.
Yeah.
And you tap the horn to get them to move over. And I had one guy wave me, go around me, go around me. Well, they're two abreast. They're taking up a whole lane. I'm going to go up over the top of a hill.
Yeah.
And I can't see the oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
Huh, crazy. Anyway.
I'm not going to take their word for it, idiots.
Yeah, right. Anyway, I need it over here, but I was a little late. I was a little bit late.
We made a lot of enemies this morning.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Yeah. And then they made them first.
Yeah, there you go. It's their fault.
Wait a minute. Let me interrupt you here. Now we got to blabbing, and I'm running behind already.
I'm your bike impairment.
Right. Well, let's see. Where am I? Okay. Mizzen Mast is having another outstanding year. It seems there's always another Mizzen Mast. The latest is Ultimate Eagle, winner October 15 of the Grade $250,000 Oak Tree Derby at Santa Anita. Then just last Saturday in Mizz Direction, a 3-0 filly by Mizzen Mast finished third, despite being interfered with to be beaten less than a length in the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run Stakes at Keeneland. Earlier this year, Mizz Direction had won the $90,000 Sandy Blue Stakes at Del Mar, and had finished second in the Grade 2 San Clemente at Del Mar, and in the Manhattan Beach Stakes at Hollywood Park. Other 2011 stakes winners by Mizzen Mast, including Sheer Beauty and Salary Drive, both graded placed in 2011, and of course Mizzen Mast is a proven sire of Grade 1 stakes winners. Stands at Judmont Farm. Incidentally, there's a couple of them sold out at Mill Ridge, sold to Mizzen Mast, a colt and filly out at the face of Tipton sale disclosed them. I think the colt was $65,000 and the filly bought $60,000, which is a nice price for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, well, anyway, he stands at Judgemont Farm, home of the brilliantly fast Grade 1 Stakes winner First Defense, whose unbridled song out of the Grade 1 Stakes winner Honest Lady, a daughter of Seattle Slough, and Grade 1 Stakes winner and Broodmare of the Year Troussade. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at Judgemont.com. Well, horses raised on Macaulay Brothers products have won 18 Grade 1 Stakes this year. Not only that, the sales topper at this year's Keeneland September sales and the sales topper at the Saratoga sales were both raised on Macaulay products. It's been another superb year for Macaulay Associates. As a reminder, in 2010, 7 Eclipse Awards and 3-7 Awards were garnered by associates of Macaulay Brothers, and the list includes the Great Zenyatta, Horse of the Year in the USA, and Biofuel, Horse of the Year in Canada. Zenyatta was foaled and raised at Don Robinson's Winter Quarter Farm, Biofuel at Mr. and Mrs. Baird and C. Jones' Airdrie Stud. Now that's a record to be proud of. And the beat goes on. Just last weekend at Keeneland, the Grade 3 Pin Oak Valley View Stakes was won by Daisy Devine, a filly bred by Riley McDonald. Always the leader in their field, Macaulay's was the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. To join the winning team, just call Dale Ward or Mike Warren at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. You're always welcome. Macaulay Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, Grade 1 Stakes winner and millionaire No Biz Like Showbiz is going to stand the 2012 season at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. No Biz Like Showbiz compiled a remarkable record at the races after breaking his maiden by 10 3/4 lengths as a 2-year-old at Belmont. He competed in 12 consecutive graded stakes. He won the Grade 2 Remsen and was second to Scat Daddy in the Grade 1 Hopeful at 2. Came back at 3 to take the Grade 1 Wood Memorial, the Grade 2 Jamaica Handicap, the Grade 2 National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame Stakes, the Grade 3 Kent Breeders' Cup Stakes, and the Grade 3 Holy Bull Stakes, and he placed in the Grade 2 Dwyer, the Grade 3 Fountain of Youth. He won 6 graded stakes, 2 at Aqueduct, 1 each at Belmont, Saratoga, Delaware, and Gulfstream Park. He won 3 graded stakes on dirt, and he won 3 graded stakes on grass, and he accumulated earnings of $1,544,730. No Biz Like Showbiz is one of 2 millionaires by the $3 million plus earner Albert the Great, out of a daughter of Stormcat from a family loaded with black type. He covered 170 mares in his first 2 seasons at stud, so he'll have the numbers in his favor when his first crop races, and he's to stand the 2012 season for $5,000 live foal. Inquiries to Pope McLean and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
Can I ask one more quick question?
You always do. Go
you,
ahead.
Doc.
Yeah. yeah.
What now?
Well, you said that marquetry got colic, and we never have colic. Our horses are all, you know, just hot. But was it 2-3 weeks ago? We had a colic. It was fine with Banamine. Mm-hmm. But I was wondering if it's the dry grasses and junk. See, not more of it or not?
No.
Just coincidence. Okay, no. I just wondered.
I think that all of those things play a role. There was a study done by the University of Georgia about 30 years ago looking at the factors, the risk factors for colic.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there are over 60 known causes for colic, you know, twists and parasites and impactions and goes on and on and on. And basically colic just means bowel. Pain.
Yeah, right.
So they did this study, and the only factor they could find that probably that played the most obvious role was management, too much management.
Oh, funny.
So
our horses don't get too much of them.
Well, you know, in their natural state, they usually do well. Of course, nobody knows how many colics happen wild Mustangs. But what they meant by too much management was barn time, feeding big meals. And one of the things came out of that study, actually, and you see it out on the countryside, was lush grasses may make them fermentate, too much gas. Yeah. So you'll see feeders that have hay in them year-round out in the fields where these horses just go and pick at it. But they get fiber, and they normalize some of the conditions that are happening in those pastures. And, of course, they stay out more. So exercise is important for bowel motility.
Yeah.
And that's where horses that are put up at night, things like that, may have less bowel motility.
Yeah.
So they don't pass things on a normal rate.
Okay. I just was,
you got a long answer.
But somebody, I think maybe Henry White told me once that he'd noticed that if you had substitute help on a weekend or something like that, and they'd feed, you know, they'd maybe feed them wrong or something, that, you know, that was one of the causes of it, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what he said.
Well, we don't overfeed.
Henry's been around long enough to know.
We don't overfeed. They get fat just out there.
Boy, the grass been so great this year.
Oh, it's the best year we've had in a decade.
Yeah, it's wonderful. We haven't had to feed anything.
Feed, no hay. Yeah. Well, we gave them a little yesterday. The blacksmith came. Gave them a handful.
Well, just keep them coming up.
Yeah.
You know, when you call them.
Otherwise, they won't like us anymore.
Well, we actually tried to, I had some communication with the Farm Managers Club, which was very receptive. And we were trying to help the Texas Oklahoma drought, because their numbers of horses
are they still dry? They had one day of rain.
Well, they say the damage is going to probably last close to 5 years.
Oh my goodness!
Their plants did not go to seed, and a lot of people have moved the cattle, which are more expensive, out into the different states, and the horses have kind of been left behind. But they say they're finding starvation cases.
Are they
pretty consistently out on the range?
Oh, that's
and
terrible.
And so the Farm Managers Club and myself.
Will you all carry on? I'll go up here and see if they're clocking some horses here.
Okay. You know, our numbers are down here. This is the luscious year we've had.
Yes. Right.
And if they wanted to have a transplant those horses for the winter.
Yeah.
Well, the Farm Managers Club was more than happy to try and help organize.
Good.
But the Texas people, I think, are just, excuse the pun, going to weather it through.
Wow.
They're dragging hay out there. I think a round bale of hay is $150.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, and the Farm Managers
normally
Club,
here it's 21, 23,
yeah,
25.
Yeah, and the Farm Managers Club, we don't want to scalp these people.
Yeah.
You know, but like show horses that need a barn, you know, you can charge half, and they might stay, and they have to stay with their horses, those kind of people, and so they're going to help the economy indirectly by staying in hotels and eating out and do this and do that.
I wonder how Kansas and Iowa and those places that are relatively close to them have done this summer.
I think they moved a lot of animals there.
Yeah.
But I talked to Glenn Blodgett at Four Sixes Ranch.
Uh-huh.
They basically moved all their cows. It's the biggest ranch, privately owned property in Texas.
Really?
And they moved all the cattle up to Montana, Wyoming.
How did they get them up there? Trains?
I don't know.
The old-fashioned trail ride.
They can't do that anymore on a Cali interstate.
Well, they drove them up the interstate.
But the drought is so bad. I mean, the plants have just died.
Oh, that's terrible.
So...
Going to have to interrupt you again, Doc.
Never let him do what he brought to us.
Well, as soon as we get through here. Doc's got brought some notes. That means he want to talk about something besides what we've got. Well, Gypsy Robin won her first start last April in a maiden special at Keenan, winning by 7.5 lengths in record time. Sent to Great Britain for a second start and a first start and only start on grass. She was beaten just 3.5 lengths in the Group 2 Queen Mary Stakes. Then she came back to the USLA to finish fourth in the Grade 3 Schuylerville, then was shipped to Monmouth Park, where she won the $101,000 Sorority Stakes. She's dead game. She has brilliant speed, just like her sire, DeHare. DeHare was retired late in the breeding season, and is a sire of only 6 foals in his first crop, 2-year-olds this year. But he has demonstrated his ability to sire runners, and his first full crop will race next year. DeHaar won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile and won 33-3. He won the Grade 2 Jerome and won 34-1. And he's by Breeders' Cup Classic winner Awesome Again, the only Breeders' Cup Classic winner to sire Breeders' Cup Classic winner. A full brother to Grade 1 Stakes winner Spun Sugar. Out of a stakes winner, Irish Cherry, DeHaar stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Quill and leather intact.
Yeah, start again.
Quill and leather intact.
Okay. Ressie was a little
quill
slow over there.
Quill and leather intact. Oh, wait a minute.
Your mic's
got
on
it.
Now, dear.
Okay, thank you. Quill and leather intact. Of course, our friends in Paris, they have absolutely the best leather and tack shop you can imagine. They do everything. They do all horse-related leather equipment. They fix saddles. They fix bridles. They make how many thousand halters a year?
I think it was 19,000.
Or
think
some gazillion number like that. They send them all over the world. They can custom make your halter, or you can buy them. They've got them hanging there, too. Brass nameplates, they put those on. They also make, of course, very popular Central Kentucky item, the leather belts with your name tag on them. So if you get lost on a Friday night, they might be able to send you home. They got a wonderful gift shop. They've got a wonderful web page. It's Quillin, Quillin.com. Oh, and you might want to call him if you want to start getting something for Christmas, because he's got the November sales to finish up. And then I guess he'll, you know, get cracking for Christmas. It's not that far off. Their Paris number is 987-0730.
Well, Artie Schill and Bellamy Road were both represented by stakes winners last weekend. The Uniformity Stakes at Santa Anita was won by Irish Art, a three-year-old colt in the first crop by Artie Schiller. And the Francis Slocum Stakes at Hoosier went to My Bellamy, a three-year-old filly from the first crop by Bellamy Road. Artie Schiller is the sire of 8 first crop stakes horses. All have won a place in stakes this year, including Grade 3 stakes winner Anne's Beauty, Del Mar stakes winner Mr. Commons, a colt that's also placed in 3 graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, and Woodbine stakes winner Bears Char. Bellamy Road is the sire of 7 first crop stakes winners, 3 graded. Position limit at Saratoga, Victoria's Wildcat at Churchill, Toby's Corner in the Grade 1 Wood Memorial at Aqueduct. Plus, he's got a 2-year-old stakes winner in his second crop, George's Angel, winner of the Grade 3 Schuylerville at Saratoga. Artie Schiller, Bellamy Road, both established sires with the 2 crops of racing aids, stand at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Robert Hammond. See the website, windstarfarm.com. All right, Doc.
You're up.
I'm up. Well, I've been blabbing as much as Michael usually does. So
nobody blabs like Michael.
Yeah, Michael can turn off his CO2 receptor. He doesn't even have to have air. I was going to talk about eyes and just racing injuries to eyes. You know, we all know that jockey's got 3 pair of goggles that he's going to flip on and off because they're going to get whacked in the face. And not just because of mud, but, you know, they got to wear those goggles. Well, the horse doesn't. He doesn't wear goggles. But he does have a mechanism. He's got a windshield wiper called the third eyelid, which he flips up and washes the thing over, and then he tears a little bit extra because of irritation. So he washes that eye out. So he's got a windshield wiper. Once in a while, they'll get hit with some dirt or get a chunk of something, and they'll get a corneal ulcer. And those horses will come out of a race. A lot of them come out of the races all squinting and getting over it, but somebody won't get over it, and they'll start to tear excessively and squint their eyes. And so that's when you need to take a good look and make sure there's nothing still left in there or they haven't got a scratch on the cornea. Veterinary wise, you know, we can't say anything normal. So tearing is called epiphora. And squinting of your eyes is called blepharospasm, where your eyelids are just kind of a constant spasm. And so a horse like that comes back to the barn, you need to get a good look at him. And a lot of times you can just wash that eye out, help them a little bit, and they'll be fine. But if there's damage, you look at the cornea and you take those little dye strips. The mm-hmm. cornea is protected by fat. They have fat layers. And when you scratch that surface, you take away that little lipid covering, and when you put that dye strip in there, the fluorescein dye, it picks up the green color. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see the scratch that you can't see normally. So just putting a dye strip in there is always a good practice. Make sure you don't have something significant. If you do have something, antibiotics, veterinarian's going to cover them with antibiotics, triple antibiotics or chloramphenicol, all eye ointments which are compatible with the eye. And now they've gotten to be a lot more expensive. I mean, they've gone up, they've zoomed up in price.
Really?
And the other thing is the pain in the eye can come out off the surface or from the inside, and what happens there is the pupil constricts, and it won't relax, and that causes the pain. So you put atropine in there to dilate the pupil. Now, some horses, if you put atropine in there, they'll stay dilated for up to a week.
Mm.
They're that sensitive.
That's when you have to put them up.
That's right, because the sunlight will... If they can't constrict down, then the
right.
ultraviolet light will burn the back of the eye and the retina.
Yeah.
And then you get an ophthalmologist like Claire Latimer or Eric
yeah.
Ertoller, one of those, and they'll take their lens thing and look in the back, and they'll say, well, you know, this optic nerve looked too pale. It's been damaged. So then that's going to be the amount of vision. So... Anyway, and that doesn't happen very often. You know, you just have to treat these things. Now, I've always felt like when I've treated eye cases, if I weighed 1,000 pounds and somebody wanted to stick something in me every 1 or 2 hours round the clock, I'd probably hurt somebody, you know,
yeah.
because it's pretty sensitive. And so when that happens, when you get a horse that you can't medicate, can't get the medicine in there, then they put a tube in the back of the eye, and that's called a lavage set. And they actually have an automatic pump that you can have your antibiotics and your atropine, everything else in like you wanted. And the pump will last 24 hours usually. It's a syringe that's spring-loaded that just takes that long, but it automatically puts a drop in the eye every
Boy, that's a
two.
Good idea, because those things are horrible to treat.
Right. Well, and they've been available for quite a while. Now, most veterinarians are not comfortable putting them in, but they're not that difficult.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, and then the horse wears that until things get right, and then you take the tube out, and it's got a little foot plate that pulls into the back of the eye area, and that way everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you pull it back where it's not touching the surface of the cornea, back over the top of the eye where you see the sclera, which is the white with the vessels and those things. That's where that thing is positioned. But anyway, you can make up a number of different concoctions. The worst eyes are fungal because that ulcer looks pretty routine. Suddenly you go in there and it's called a melting ulcer. And it just... Just eats away at those lipid, and they can perforate that eye. So fungal, Pseudomonas is a bacteria that does the same thing, and some streptococcal will melt the cornea. So those are serious eyes. Mm-hmm. And now if you've got a horse that's one-eyed, he's not through as a racehorse. Sometimes you can't get them over the infection, horse is in constant pain. You can't control it even with atropine or anything else. So you take a tenth of a cc of Genesin, and you inject that into the back of the eye. So you pull the eyelid up, and then you put the needle in the sclera, and you put that Genesin. And what Genesin does, it kills the nerve.
Oh, interesting.
So the horse is now blind, but he has no pain.
Mm-hmm.
So the eye, you don't have to take it out.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, melting ulcer eye will become what we call shriveled or thesical.
Yeah.
And so that avoids that, if you recognize that foot where the horse is going to wind up going. Or you enucleate the eye, take it out. A lot of horses adjust really well, and they can go back to racing.
Yeah.
They just can't race with an active infection and all the pain. So you manage that one way or another.
In humans, sometimes, if they lose, they have a pain or problem in one eye, it will damage sooner or later the other eye. Does that happen with horses?
Not to my knowledge.
Oh, okay. I just wondered.
Morning, David.
Other thing I was going to ask you real quick is people used at the racetrack used to open the horse's eye after the race and blow out the sand. And somebody said, don't do that. It might scratch the cornea. Is that good or not?
Well, I've seen trainers spit. You know, they blow and then they spit and they blow and spit.
Try to get the sand out.
Best thing to do is if you have to sedate the horse, hold the eyelid up. You can do a nerve block on the eyelid so it's paralyzed. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, their eyelid's strong enough, and you know you're hard to. And just take saline, 20 cc's of saline, and just
squirt it.
Give him a good wash.
Yeah.
And then re-examine, make sure there's not a scratch.
Okay.
We had an old horse that every time we ran him, we'd come back with his off eye. Look, you should know.
Yeah.
So we finally got a pair of blinkers with a bubble.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
And spray the inside with that stuff that divers use.
So it doesn't
to keep
steam
it from
up.
Steaming up, you know.
Right, oil on the outside, so stuff would bounce off.
Yeah, so that cured that. I got tired of treating that damn eye.
can't tell you how many times I have stood there with the tiniest little thing of eye ointment.
Right.
They're little tiny, tiny, tiny. And I pull it back and I'm ready to squirt. The head goes in the air and the stuff squirts. Oh, it's maddening.
Well, some of those eye cases, they do get pretty tough. And they'll learn to swing their head and whack you.
Oh, God.
And,
they don't want to see you coming. Care.
Okay.
That was fun. Thank you, Doc.
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
Much.
Well, I hope everybody sees the light now.
Oh, shucks.
We had to end it with that?
Yeah.
He's thinking about that.
Yeah, Michael's not here, so
right.
What are we going to do?
Rusty, you should have been prepared to cut him off with that one. Well, Lionel David is a grade one stakes winner from the Stormcat Sire line. And the female family of Mr. Prospector. His sire is the multiple grade one stakes winner and millionaire Lionheart. Sire of 36 stakes horses, 19 stakes winners in his first three crops, and currently ranked fifth on the juvenile sire list with 22-year-old winners. Lionheart is by Taylor the Cat, who ranks eighth on the 2011 general sire list, and Taylor the Cat is the son of champion sire Stormcat. Lionel David's dam is the outstanding sire Capote, the sire of 63 stakes winners and a son of Seattle Slough, and then she's out of a daughter of Razor Navy from the family of Mr. Prospector. And there are many great sires in Lionel David's pedigree. Lionel David led from wire to wire to win the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, beating the Grade 1 stakes winner Super Saver, Dublin, and Noble's Promise, and the Arkansas Derby was his third straight wire-to-wire win. Lionel David successfully completed his first season at stud this year. He'll have the numbers going for him when his first crop reaches the races and he stands at Spendthrift Farm. Contact Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Fell or Ned Toffee and be sure to ask about possible breeding incentives. The number is 2940030 and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
CD-ROM is now in stock at FirstNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all-weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year, pedigrees dating back to 1950. The American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at FirstNet.com or call 859-223-4444.
What are you supposed to do?
Yeah, I was out there having a pleasant conversation. Here I am back.
Well, as soon as I finish this, then you're supposed to do a little bit more of that. Sit down, David.
Oh, okay.
And then we're going to get David
Welcome
on.
Welcome to the most cleverly planned, thought-out...
Disorganized mob. Well, I want to talk about it by my friend Ron Wallace over at Equine Farm Management. And he's handling the dispersal of Saul Ben Caled's Chanticleer Farm out at Keeneland, you know.
Oh.
And that includes the top...
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's managed the farm for a number of years.
Yeah.
And, of course, the gentleman died. And in that dispersal is Royal Delta, who won the Alabama So wow. That's going. She's going to bring a little money.
I could give her a stall if they wanted to get rid of her, if they're desperate. Yeah.
Anyway, what his basic business is, besides managing different and various and sundry farms, he's got equine farm management, where he helps farm owners enjoy their horse farms. If you buy a piece of land and it's you want to set it up and have it set up the right way, you want to get the right people to build your barns and put up your fences and then what the right kind of waterers and so forth, well, that's the guy to talk to is Ron Wallace. And I'm going to give you his cell number, and I'm going to give you his website here in just a few minutes. He's worked with a lot of top-class farms, in addition, of course, to Chanticleer Farm, Summer Wind Farm, over here in one of the gorgeous places over on Ironworks Pike.
It is.
Yeah, it's
across from Old Friends.
Hurricane Hills, right out here on the right, on a Lexington Road, Lexington Parish Road. He put that together. That's a gorgeous place. Crown Colony Farm, Ashley House Farm, you name it. Places up in New York like Stonebridge Farm. He presently is helping Paladis Investments up at Elmont, New York. Autumn Winds Farm. And one over in Paris on Redmond Road, Redmond Road Farm. And it's Live Oak Stud down in Ocala. So the guy's really knows what he's doing. And like I say, he knows who all the good builders are, who the good fencers are. I called him the other day asking for the name of a good fencer because we need some fencing done.
Yeah, ASAP.
So it's Ron Wallace, and his website is equinefarmmanagement.com. And his phone number is his cell number. It's an 859 number, 621-1655. You got it.
Run, old Molly, run, run, old Molly, run.
What are you doing?
Timber's gonna beat you to the bright shining sun.
Jackie, you want to do a couple of
announcements? Yeah, I want to announce next week, of course, is Friday and Saturday is the Breeders' Cup, of course. That's going to be fabulous. But starting Tuesday is the National Horse Show, the oldest indoor horse show in this country.
How long does that go on?
It goes through Saturday. I'm real sorry they've clunked it up on Breeders' Cup. That won't happen next year because Breeders' Cup's going where next year? New York or California? I forget. But this thing is wonderful. And, you know, the All-Tech World Games, those were expensive tickets. They started at $35, $45. These tickets start $10. Kids under 12, free. This is the championship. This is the big deal. So, what do you call that? Ticketmaster? You can get Ticketmaster tickets. I wonder if they're selling them out at the horse park. I'm going to call because I'd like to go. But going through all that Ticketmaster stuff, shoot, doggy, drive me crazy. Huh,
You're not going to drag me away from the TV, I'll tell you.
That's the thing. I need to go before Friday and Saturday because I'm going to watch the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed. But anyway, no matter what your horse, interest is, both of them are huge. It's just an amazing, amazing thing that they're here at the same time. We're lucky to get the National. And that's all Tech's doing. Boy, that guy, what's his name?
Pierce Lyons.
Boy, yeah. He puts his money right where the horse's mouth is because he did the World Games and now he's doing the National Horse Show.
Yeah.
Whew. So, that starts November 1st. This weekend, today is the Riding for Hope Halloween Benefit and Trail Ride and Tax Sale. It's going on right now. Now, they ride from 9 till noon, and then they ride from noon till 3. So, you still got time to load up and get out there. That's a wonderful thing. That's for CKRH, Central Kentucky Riding for Hope, which we love and like to support. The horse show runs the 2nd through the 5th, and then the 5th and the 6th, also North American Challenge Cup Mounted Games. Listen to this. November 9th through the 12th, History Heritage Days with oxen. Oxen. They're going to pull things. Oxen.
O-X-E-N.
O-X-E-N. Oxen. I just think it's hilarious. I mean, other than the movies, I don't remember seeing oxen. Mules pulling stuff, but anyway. Saddle up your oxen and go. I don't know. Anyway, that's what's coming.
Well, let me interrupt you.
Okay.
So you can finish those later.
Yeah, I'll finish later. That's
all right. Well, Regally Ready wins the Grade 1 $500,000 in the Arctic Stakes at Woodbine. Western Aristocrat takes the Grade 1 Jamaica Handicap at Belmont. Two Grade 1 stakes winners in 8 days, both bred by Grape Stock, that's a division of Vinery, and both carrying the Vinery silks. And to top it off, Regally Ready is by the Vinery Kentucky Stallion, More Than Ready. Regally Ready and Western Aristocrat are two very good reasons for you to inquire about the Vinery Racing Partnership Program, a program noted for its simplicity and its success. In stakes last weekend, the $125,000 Friendly Ireland Iroquois Stakes at Belmont was won by Risky Rachel, a four-year-old filly by Limehouse, and the $125,000 Illini Princess Stakes at Hawthorne winner, Peyote Patty, is a daughter of Cactus Ridge. Limehouse and Cactus Ridge stand at Vinery, Kentucky. The staffs at Vinery, Kentucky, Vinery, Florida, and Vinery, New York stand ready to assist you in every aspect of the thoroughbred business. So call John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, or Francis Rillihan, or Grant Williamson at 455-9388. See the website, vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, last Saturday in Louisiana, the $150,000 My Trust Cat Stakes was won by Citizen Advocate, a two-year-old filly of a proud citizen, and Laurel's Twix Stakes went to Access to Charlie, a three-year-old filly of Indian Charlie. Citizen Advocate has finished first in 5 straight starts, and with stakes wins also at Presque Isle and Calder, she has won stakes on dirt, artificial, and grass. She's one of 8 2011 stakes winners and one of 14 two-year-old winners by Proud Citizen, a list that includes Believe You Can, winner of the Grade 3 Tempted in New York. Twix winner Access to Charlie is the 14th 2011 stakes winner by Indian Charlie. His Uncle Mo, garnered the 4th Eclipse Award earned by the progeny of Indian Charlie, goes next in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. Proud Citizen and Indian Charlie, both sires of Eclipse Award winners, stand in Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website, airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, this guy says the horse can do. If he says the horse...
We're starting the second hour now of this mess, and I'm talking to David Atkins, and I've known David out here for several years, but I kind of got curious about a couple of horses that he's got. A horse named Curses and Blessings and Some Kind of Trouble. You just went a race the other day with Some Kind of Trouble down at the mountain, didn't
you? Tuesday night, he had a nice four-length victory, pulling away from him. Started allowance, and... did very well. I was pretty impressed with him. So
yeah. Now you haven't had this horse very long, have you?
Now we claimed him back in July. Actually, we got out shook the first time at Churchill. He was claimed for 5, and we lost a 6-way shake.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I was kind of disappointed because our intention was to take him down to the Mountaineer Series.
Yeah.
So you know, kept our eye on him, and he showed up 2 weeks later down at Ells for 7,500. So I told Mr. Butler, I said, we still need to go get him, and went down there. We was the only claim.
Is that right?
Yep. So we brought him home, and he needed a break at that point. He had run 9 times up to that point. So I told Mitch, I said, let's give him a little freshener.
9 times this year.
Yeah, up to that point when we claimed him. So I said, let's give him a freshener, you know, let's do some training on him and let's kind of point towards that series and see how we do. So
tell what series that is now.
It's a long distance series that Mountaineer has.
He's got a jacket here. It says 2010 distance series.
And this was at Presque Isle Downs.
This was Presque Isle.
Dwayne
Atkins.
Good story on that one. Remind me to tell you on that
one. All right.
We've got a bunch of chuckles on that one.
Did
since we had success with curses up at the Presque Isle series, you know, the same series at Mountaineer, but it's on the dirt.
Yeah.
So that was the big picture goal with this claim. So we gave him a couple months off, and he made his debut for me and for Mitch at Turfway in September meet. We ran him at a mile and a quarter in a starter five allowance. And basically, we want to answer two things. You know, he never run on the poly track, so you want to see how you like the poly track, you know, in lieu of maybe next year taking him to Presque Isle. So, and stretch him out to a mile and a quarter, see if he, you know, liked the longer distance. Well, he laid back here in the back like the other one did and come flying and finished second, got beat a length that day trying to catch a five, you know, a front runner on the front end. So he passed both tests. He was all happy. And so I took him down to Mountaineer in the mile and a half leg of the Mountaineer series. Laid back here in the back, and here he come a flying again. I mean, put in another top-notch effort, got beat a neck. So, you know, we knew we was heading in the right direction. Then Tuesday night, we went down there for the next leg. It was a mile and five-eighths, and he rode right on by him. Won by 3 3/4, according to the chart. And I mean, nice effort.
You can have a lot of fun with this starter allowance.
Oh, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, the starter allowance, in case people don't know, this, if you have a horse, that, for instance, that you've somewhere in his career is run for a certain claiming price, say if it's $5,000, $7,500, $10,000, like that, they put on races now that they're non-claiming races. But you have to, they'll have conditions that will have started for $5,000 during a certain time period.
Yeah, usually it's a 2-year period. Most race secretaries write the condition for 2 years. So
it used to be a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of them are 2 years now.
Well, that's a
which
break.
Which is good.
Yeah.
I mean, if you claim them at the right time frame, and you can take advantage of that situation.
Oh, so. Yeah. You get a good $10,000 horse run and a $5,000 starter. You got a little bit of edge.
Yes, you do. You know. Yeah. And especially in these situations where these long distances, it really shrinks the pool down.
Aren't they fun?
Yeah.
I love
them. Oh, it's just incredible.
I love those distance races.
I wish race secretaries would write more of the races.
Yeah, you know, I do too. Yeah, you know, I love distance races.
These sprint races are over before you blink your eye, and you know, and most of them write mile and sixteenths. But it's just these long ones. There's more tactics and more time to enjoy. You know, watch the race.
But what did you see in this horse? Some kind of trouble that you thought they'd make a good starter. You saw back in there he'd run for five at some. I know that.
Yeah, Montano had him. Angel had him at Churchill, and he come up from Fairgrounds and. He's another Stephen got even, so I was keeping an eye on him for that reason.
Yeah.
So he had brought him up here from Fairgrounds, and he wanted Indiana, so I kept him on my radar. Put him in my stable mail, and he took him over to Churchill, and he finished second in open five company. And I kind of, at that time, I told Mitch, I said,
how far was he going that day?
Just a mile.
Mile
and 16th. That's, you know, typical distance. It's most, you know,
Churchill. Yeah, right.
Running.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I told Mitch, I said, let's keep an eye on this one. This may be one that, you know, might want to go get, you know, pointing towards that Mountaineer series. Because he's shown he, you know, has affinity for dirt. So I said, you know. Then the next race, he ran him right back and for five again. And he won it. And Mitch, we kind of hold off on it. And I said, well, we need to go get him. You know, I said, this horse shows some ability. I think we can, you know, do some good with him. So we went back again. And was going to claim him, and that's when there were six claims in on him. So we got out shook that night. So, but he ran at a mile and an eighth, and stretched him out, and he won pretty handily. So we knew he's like this horse got some little ability. Yeah. So,
well, you'd had good luck with old Curses and Blessings, and he was also by Stephen Gaudet.
Yes, and that was really the main reason I was keeping an eye on this some kind of trouble. So.
Yeah.
It's so far, it's worked out well.
Well, yeah.
You know.
Spotting those horses.
Knock on wood, I think this one may be better than Curses. So.
Well, boy, I don't know.
I know that's saying a lot.
How many?
At this point.
Now, You've had him his whole career, haven't you?
No, Mitch claimed him down at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, at the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this was probably 2.5 years ago that he claimed him. Ran him a couple times with somebody down there, brought him back up here, ran him a couple times with somebody else, and he was still trying to break his 9-1-3 lifetime condition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, he was running mile and 16th, running him up close. You know, he would try, but,
yeah,
you know, they just didn't have him in the right spot with the right running style. So, Mitch and his dad, Don, got the opportunity. They brought two horses, and Curses and Blesses was one of them to me. And it was almost from the get-go when I started getting on him. You know the old phrase, how we always say they want to go short or long. Well, I got on him, and I said, not only does he want to go long, he wants to go longer.
Longer.
Yeah. So, you know, and there's really no opportunity. And we finally, you know, we ran him a few times. We won a couple races with him, but they were all mile 16th. And we first got our chance at Keeneland, not this past April, but the April before, the race that we won in April. The year before, we ran it 1.25 miles.
Yeah.
And he got beat by that Good Horse Helicopter.
Uh-huh.
And we lost by a nose, and we knew he was kind of on the right track.
Yeah.
So we went from there and went to 1.375 at Starter Handicap at Indiana, and he finished second in that. Then we went to the Presque Isle Series last year and won one of them, got second two of the races. So
what the distance were those at?
At Presque Isle, it was the 1.75, 2 miles, and 2.25 miles. So
I love it. Let me take a break here. I'll get right back with you, David. Well, last Sunday at Keeneland, the $125,000 Rude and Riddle Dowager Stakes was won by Sonata, a 4-year-old filly, by Pulpit. 4 days earlier, the Firethorn Stakes at Belmont went to Hymn Book, a 5-year-old son of Arch. Bred by Stone Farm and sold as a yearling at Keeneland for $800,000. Sonata has placed in the Grade 1 Glen Falls at Saratoga in her previous start. So you can add her name to the long list of high-class stakes winners sired by Pulpit, a list that includes 10 USA Grade 1 stakes winners and such outstanding sires as Tappet, Sky, Mesa, and Stroll. Hymnbook was bred and owned by Stuart S. Janney III and has also won the 3 Coins Up Stakes at Belmont this year, and he ran second to Flat Out, a son of the Claiborne Farm Stay and Flatter, in the Grade 2 Suburban. He's one of 13 2011 stakes horses by Arch. As his Grade 1 stakes winner, Arch, Arch, Arch. Animal Spirits, recent winner of Keenan's Grade 3 Bourbon Stakes. Too Clever for Words, winner of the Grade 3 Stage Door Betty Stakes. Alora Michelle, winner of the listed P.G. Johnson Stakes at Saratoga. And 3 stakes winners in Europe. Pulpit's 2012 stud fee, $50,000. Arch, $30,000. And all fees. Stallion of the Claiborne Stallions are due when the foal stands and nurses. Inquire to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Van's has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Eclipse Award winner Spitestown has climbed to number 9 on the general sire list. Spitestown was a champion sprinter, and his fastest son is the multiple greatest stakes winner, Munnings. Munnings sprinted 7 furlongs and won 20-3 to win the Grade 2 Woody Stevens at Belmont, the fastest running in 15 years, and won 21 flat to take the Grade 2 Tom Fool, also at Belmont, and then won 22-2 to win the Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Sprint Championship Stakes. Game and consistent, Munnings also placed in 6 Grade 1 stakes, the Champagne, the Hopeful, the Haskell Invitational, the Vosburgh, the King's Bishop, and the Carter, for earnings of over $742,000. Munnings is by a champion sprinter and top 10 sire out of a daughter of Grade 1 stakes winner La Guerriere by Lordy War. Going to stand his second season stud in 2012 at Coomore's Ashford Stud. home of the number one ranked sire on the general sire list, Giants Causeway, and the number one ranked sire on the juvenile sire list, and freshman sire list, Scat Daddy. Leading sires, potential leading sires only at Coolmore. I'm talking to David Atkins, who's got two great old stayers out here. Curses and blessings and some kind of trouble. Curses and blessings is quite a horse. He's not very big, is he?
No, he's...
What was he?
If you looked at him, probably 15-3, maybe, 15-2. I mean, narrow, just, you know, if you looked at him, you wouldn't think much of him.
He's not very impressively imposing at all, is he?
No.
And you're a big guy, and you gallop him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I commented to somebody, said, you know why that horse runs so long? He's so happy to get David off his back.
Yeah, I've heard that more than once.
I bet you have.
You know? Well, I think it's a good thing, you know, to be honest about it, you know, having the weight, I think it makes him stronger, you know, if you got good balance.
If your balance is good.
Yeah, balance is good. I mean, you can have... somebody on there 100 pounds and flopping all over the place.
Yeah,
it's going to be bad for the
horse.
You see
some of that out here.
Yeah.
But he's a neat old horse. I'm going to tell you a little story. David was going by here one day on Curses and Blessings, and he got about 20 yards past the clocker stand down here, and his stirrup, did it break that day?
Yeah, stirrup leather broke.
That tells you how much David weighs. Anyway, his stirrup leather broke, and David bites the dust. And this horse, this is God's truth, he doesn't go 15 yards, and he stops, you know, where in the hell's David? Turns around, and he looks at you, and you're laying there in the dirt.
Yeah.
And he comes walking and walks right back up to you looks at you, and you got up and brushed yourself off. Haven't even caught the horse yet. Horse is standing there, you know, looking at David, and instead of reaching up and getting the bridle after he's brushed himself off, he just reaches up, pats him on the neck, and then turns and starts walking off. My old horse following you down through here. You finally reach up and hit him. But he's a pet.
Oh, he is. I mean, he's the most laid back, gentlest horse I've ever been around in my life. I mean, he's it's hard to describe. He nothing bothers him, man, and just, you know, provide a good environment for him. But he's just like your pet dog at home. I mean, he sits there and follows me around. And
I know, yeah. Somebody told me that. I tell you, John Booker was up here one day, and I think it was right after that happened, and he says, hell, he says, you ought to be over there in the barn. He says, he follows him around like a dog. See, he didn't bother to put a shank on him half the time.
Yeah. I think that may be part of his good attribute. You know, running long distance like that, just being so relaxed, you know, I think that helps him out, you know, being like that, so.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I hope you find a good home for that horse when he's through running.
Well, they're going to keep him. So that's a good thing with Don and Mitch Butler. Give them a plug. I mean, it's good owners. They give me time to get the horses ready. You know, they don't want to run them every 2 weeks. You know, they do right by the horse, you know, and they go take him home. You know, as good as he's been to myself and them.
Yeah, well, he's won $200,000. You know, he's a little bit better than an empty stall. Both horses have.
Yep.
Well, that's great. Where are you from, David?
Georgetown.
Oh, are you?
Born and raised in Georgetown.
Well, we'll excuse you. Was that before Toyota?
That was before Toyota.
Tell me about this jacket. You've got a jacket that says D. Wayne Lucas. Let me see what it says on the back.
Last year at the Prescott Series, you know, they you accumulate points for how you finish, you know, each race.
Those races,
And there's five races. So whoever accumulated the most points after the five races, the trainer got this jacket.
2010 Distance Series winning trainer, it said.
Yeah, and we won it again this year.
Well, what's the D. Wayne Lucas for?
So the lady called me from Presque Isle, and she said, well, you won this nice baseball jacket. And she said, told me what I was going to put on the back of it. And she said, I'm going to put the Presque Isle logo on the front. She said, I'm going to put your name on the right-hand side. You want David or David Atkins? And I thought for a second. I said, you ever heard of D. Wayne Lucas? And she goes, well, yeah. I said, well, my middle name's Wayne. And she goes, I guess you want me to put D. Wayne Atkins. I said, yeah, put D. Wayne Atkins on there. I said, everybody get a kick out of that.
Yeah.
So she did it. She put D. Wayne Atkins.
Well, there it is. It's a good-looking jacket.
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah.
Quality jacket, so.
Georgetown. Okay. Was your family in the horse business or anything?
No. Well, Ted Lucas is my uncle. Now, Ted's been doing it all his life, but my direct family, nobody. Grew up there, went to Georgetown College, got a business administration degree, went worked 9 to 5. But, you know, I was exposed to the horses, been around them all my life. You know, of course, growing up here, you go to Keeneland every year, every meet. And
Every day, probably.
And it's just one of them things. I had an opportunity. A friend of mine, Marshall Wilshire, how I got started in it is he worked for Michael Barnett over at Blackburn Farm over in Midway, and had a wild again mare that one of their clients wanted to get rid of. So my friend Marshall calls me and asks me if I want this mare. I said, well, sure, I'll take it. And basically the plan was I was going to lay her up for a year and breed her to somebody cheap. We ended up bringing her Pembroke, $2,000 stud fee over at Hermitage up there.
Yeah.
And just see if we can get us a racehorse, you know. So we
Hermitage is a pretty good haul.
Oh, yeah.
It's up by Louisville.
So we went through the process, ended up the mare, produced a foal. And, you know, when it was time to get it broke and get it racing, I couldn't afford to, you know, pay somebody to do it. So I ended up doing it myself. Then when it was time to bring it to the track and start training on it, I said, well, I'm just going to go get my own license and train it myself. But I hung out with a couple friends of mine that was trainers. So, you know, I settled down for a long time and got this first horse, got him to the races. And Ursel, you never believe it. He wins his second race. And it was a maiden 5,000 at River Downs. And you would have thought we had won the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, this
it was the most biggest spectacle that you've ever seen. And I'll never forget. It just seems like it was yesterday, even today, you know. But from that point on, it was just, that's what I want to do the rest of my life.
Is yeah.
Train horses and
you know, it's really, it's great to win a horse race anytime.
Oh, absolutely.
But when you win one with something that you bred yourself, you raised yourself, you trained yourself.
Been with him every day. You've looked him in the eyes every day of his life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then him go out on the track and perform like that, it's just, unless you almost, you can describe it to people, but unless you go experience yourself, it's hard to believe it's the biggest adrenaline.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah, yeah. That's the only thing I miss. I don't miss the everyday stuff anymore. But I do miss walking down that window. I didn't get to go down there very often.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It never gets old.
No.
You know? I mean, it's just incredible. You know, that's what it's all about, really.
Well, how much, when do your conditions run out for curses and blessings?
At the end of December.
December.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you've got a problem, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Well, either we have to sneak him back in somewhere, which...
Well, it happens. You know, I remember one year the horse showed up down at River Downs for $5,000, came down from Canada.
Yeah.
And they ran him in a $5,000 race down at River, and then the next time I saw him, he was in starters up at Woodbine.
Really?
Yeah. Somebody had sent that horse all, I think it was Mark Cassie.
Really?
Now, this has been a number, I mean, this has been 25 years ago, I guess. Been that long, Jackie? I guess it has.
Well, if you do something drastic enough, I mean, it scares a lot of people off, you know, if the horse is dropping, you know.
Yeah.
It just makes you think twice, but.
They don't claim a lot of horses at River.
No.
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 There's not a whole lot of money.
No money.
Yeah, there's not much money. A friend of mine, Herb Jones, tells a story about he was a second leading trainer down there one year. And it said if it had a toll on that bridge, he'd never got back to Kentucky.
Well, Herb's training back again, ain't he?
No.
Oh.
No, he stopped. He bought a filly and sent it down to Tim. What's Tim's last name? He trained around here. He used to help James Jackson some and helped Herb, too.
But, you mean not talking about Tim Shue, are you?
No, not Tim Shue.
Tim.
I can't remember Tim's last name. But... anyway, he's down at the Phillies down there now.
Yeah.
I don't know, Herb.
Tim Gerton.
No.
It's all Tim Gerton.
Well, okay. And I forget, you know. Yeah. Well, what's next for some kind of blessings?
Well.
Or some kind of trouble?
They might shoot us when we go down there, but I think the next leg of that series is November 12th. It's 1 3/4, and it may be 1 and 1A.
Oh, you're going to run them both?
Yeah. So, we might gang up on them down there.
Are there any more after that?
Yeah, there's 1 3/4, and I think that there's three more. 2 miles, and it's either 2 miles and 16th or 2 miles and a quarter.
Before the end of the year?
Three more.
Yeah.
Three more legs, so.
Well, you've got time with some kind of trouble now. When does his run out?
2012, so we got all of him on next year. So
yeah.
Hopefully he keeps progressing, and we can repeat our performance at Presque Isle with him next year.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, purse is good out there.
Oh,
what, the $70,000 pot?
The last race, they went up incrementally, and they started at 31, but the last race was $71,000
mm-hmm.
for the 2 mile and a quarter race for starter 10.
Yeah.
Or starter 12.5.
Yeah.
Take that back. So it's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is good to have horses at this level able to run for that kind of money.
It's right.
You know, where else are you going to have that opportunity?
Yeah.
You know,
are you still looking for another one?
Well, the way we're doing with this one, we might be looking for a third one.
Yeah. Know? Jack and I used to do that. We had, how many do we have to run those starters? We had over here the one, Whoosh. He ran in them. Here the one that was a horse just a whole lot like that. This has been a long time ago, but he was never worse than third going a mile and a quarter longer. And he was a tough old horse. He was about Dewan. And son of Bull Ruler that stood over at Domino Stud at that time. Jimmy Dryman bred him. I don't know if you knew Jimmy or not.
No.
Well, I'm going to let you go.
All righty. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, it's been fun. I just admire that old horse.
He's something else.
Yeah.
And it's, we was talking about putting a video montage together with him, and we're going to have everybody have a little testimonial like he's everybody's little favorite horse out here.
Oh, I know, yeah. What is this? Now, this is
after the Keeneland race, Frank Angst, writer with Thoroughbred Times, wrote an article about him, and it was just basically comparing him to Silky Sullivan.
I'll read it. Here. All right. This is what was this from now?
Thoroughbred Times, and it was race was in April, so it was
okay. Way back in April when you won a starter out of Keeneland.
That one
with Curses and Blessings.
Yeah, he was so far back, he was like 25.
Frank Ansk wrote this for the Thoroughbred Times. His fans who paid attention to the early races on Keeneland race courses Wednesday card were awarded with a visually impressive rally by veteran Curses and Blessings in a closing move that had older fans. That would be me. referencing Silky Sullivan, and younger fans were calling mine that bird's win in the Kentucky Derby presented by Yum Brandt. Grade one. I could have done without that. Cursings and Blessed rallied from 24 lengths behind after the first half mile to win Wednesday's third race, a mile and a quarter starter allowance race by a length and a half. The replay is something to see. While Keeneland offers high definition video and a tracker system, even those technical wonders lose track of Curses and Blessings as he fades from view early. 20 lengths behind early leader Got Soul through a quarter of a mile in 24 and behind that rival through a half a mile. Through 6 furlongs, Curses and Blessings had moved only 3/4 of a length closer to the lead, trailing Cold Feet by 23 1/4 lengths with just a half mile remaining in the race. As the field turns for home, Curses and Blessings finally moved into view, but remained in last in mid-stretch, 5 1/2 lengths from the lead and behind a wall of horses. While Curses and Blessings showed determination just to move into contention, he saved his best for last, displaying agility and courage as he and jockey Corey Orme weave through foes. In fact, they draw off late. That's about as far back as I've seen them come from here, said Keeneland Morning Line oddsmaker Turfway announcer Mike Battaglia. You could really see a big gap back to him from the rest of the field. That was really neat.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
Yeah. Oh, you.
That was a good day.
You thought he was beat, didn't you?
Oh, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I thought it was just one of them races where he's just not going to run today.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know, you just don't have it at top of the stretch. And it's like, oh, well, you know, one of them races. And but then all of a sudden, here he come. He just started moving. I got a good story of what Corey said. You got to listen to this one.
This is Ryder.
Yeah, Corey Orme. He just, you know, first year riding. He's out of school. And he had rode him the previous race at Turfway in a mile-and-a-half starter allowance. And we won by 5, and Corey didn't do nothing. He just rode him right there. And Corey goes, I didn't do nothing. He said, that horse knew exactly when to move. He said, I was just sitting there. I didn't do nothing. So we're getting ready to go over Keeneland. We was like second or third choice in this race. I mean, we had a good shot of winning it. You know, Corey's all fired up. You know, we got a chance to win the race at Keeneland. So Corey told me after the race, he was like, same thing. He said, at top stretch, I'm about 3/8, Bob. He said, I asked him, and he said he didn't move. He said, I asked him again, top stretch, and he said, man, we were so far back, I started getting sick to my stomach. He said, I was about ready to puke in my mouth. I was so sick. I said, here I am sitting on it. I thought we was going to have us winner, and he ain't running a lick. And he said, about that time, that horse just took off on his own, and he said, I just guided him through that hole, and he was gone.
Yeah.
He said, it's like the horse knew when it was time to go.
Yeah.
It was. So it was a good day for all of us.
Yeah.
Chris McCarron was down there because he was in the winner's circle. So.
Oh, Chris came down. Well, yeah. Corey's a graduate of Chris's school, of course, out here at the Thoroughbred Center.
And small world, Chris rode Stephen Got Even when he was going through the Derby races.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, David. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
My pleasure.
Take care of those two old boys now.
All right. Thank you.
All righty. Well, Mizzen Mast is having another outstanding year. It seems there's always another Mizzen Mast. The latest is Ultimate Eagle, winner October 15 of the Grade $250,000 Oak Tree Derby at Santa Anita. Then, just last Saturday, Ms. Direction, a 3-year-old filly by Mizzen Mast, finished third despite being interfered with to be beaten less than a length in the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run Stakes at Keeneland. Earlier this year, Ms. Direction had won the $90,000 Sandy Blue Stakes at Del Mar, and had been second in the Grade 2 San Clemente at Del Mar, and also in the Manhattan Beach Stakes at Hollywood. Other 2011 stakes winners by Mizzen Mast include Sheer Beauty and Salary Drive, both graded placed in 2011. And, of course, Mizzen Mast is a proven sire of Grade 1 stakes winners. Stands at Judmont Farm, home of the brilliantly fast Grade 1 stakes winner First Defense, Bun Bridal Song out of the Grade 1 stakes winner Honest Lady, a daughter of Seattle Slough, and Grade 1 stakes winner and Broodmare of the Year, Troussard. Inquiries of Garrett Rook or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. Well, I want to say a little something about my good friend Tom Biederman. Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. And Tom, he's got some really nice property for sale. Several of them out there close to us. One right there at Elizabeth Station, which it's on Greenwich right before you get to 460. Wonderful piece of property. And it's right next to Dave Parrish's place there. Dave's right on the corner. And Dave's doing real well. I was talking to Shaq yesterday and he got a little hearing problem, but other than that, of course, Dave Parrish is a World War II hero, Silver Star winner, fighter pilot. Anyway, to get back to Tom Biederman, he's got another place on Greenwich and got a place over on for sale right close by on Clay Kaiser. That's for sale. A nice piece of property there. One of the land lays really good. Tom is, he's got really good people working for him. And his firm has grown so much. I remember when it was just Tom and I think just Reggie Bushell. But he's got Joel Brown and Mike Morrison and Jonathan Knoll, Ryan Teeter, and Brad Knoll, and Broussard Huntley and Joan Rich and Lisa Mellon. Got some really nice people working for him.
Well, thank you.
Tom knows this. Nobody knows the land around here better than Tom. And if you're listening, want to list with a winner, I'd call Tom. I'm going to give you his number in a minute. If you're looking for a wonderful place, go to his website. And that's BiedermanBrokerage.com, BIEDERMAN, Brokerage.com. And his number is 277-2030. Great guy to do business with, so just give him a call, and he'll get the job done for you. And let's see, I want to talk about another neighbor of mine who lives right close. That would be Jim Fitzgerald over at Knott Griffin Farm. And Jim is Irish, of course. He came over here from the Irish National Stud, where he was under Dr. Michael Osborne, worked with John Williams and Lee Eaton, top superior horseman. And he owns since 1994 Knott Griffin Farm right there on 460, right? 460 is just, his farm is just a couple of miles from the Paris bypass. You can't miss. He's also got another farm called Harper's Island, which is just a 2-minute, well, 5-minute maybe drive away. And, just real close by. And great facility there. Tom does, of course, boarding, sales prep, sales, private, public. He had a really good, Keeneland September sales, incidentally. Sold some top-price yearlings out there, top-price yearling, but by Curlin, and the top price yearly by Warpass, and the top price filly by Corinthian, and the top price filly by First Defense, and you know, so he's got superior help, and he really gets the horses looking really, really good. I know he's got great blacksmiths. They do our work too. So, and the buyers, people who bought farm out there, like Kenny McPeak and West Point Thoroughbreds and BBA Ireland and Reynolds Bell and Mike Pegram and Jerry Hollandoffer. So they know they're buying for, they know those horses have been raised right at Knott Griffin Farm by Jim Fitzgerald. So let me give you his number. It's 987-8032, and that's Paris. And his website is knottgriffin.com, K-N-O-C-K-G-R-I-F-F-I-N, farm.com. All right, Jackie, you want to finish that air? What'd you bring back over here?
Donuts.
Well, I tell you what. You get out of here and go buy donuts.
It's Saturday.
Look at this.
Hey, that was a really good interview.
Oh, he's, yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, well, he's having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat this chocolate.
He said that the guy that owns the horse lives in Western Kentucky, and they got on WLXG.com, and they were listening.
Oh.
So he got to hear it. And I told him it'll be up on UrsulaEllis.com sometime this weekend.
Good.
I'll tell you a funny one. This real nice guy works on the computer. And he's also got another job. So he was trying to teach me how to download it. I can put it up. And so I tried it all on my own about a week or two ago. 2 weeks ago. Well, I muffed it. So I called him up, and he said, well, I just got home. And I thought, I don't want to take this guy's time. You know, I said, well, he said, I can put it up real quick if you want me to. So go ahead. Because I don't want to take somebody's time to teach an idiot how to put some. So I put it up last week, and I went to do it myself. It was up.
He put it up anyway.
He did it, yeah. So.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, Stephen Goodlick. So what do you want me to do?
Well, I know. What you got over there?
I got all kind of
things. Don't bother me while I'm eating a donut.
Okay. Finish Line Farms, 5508. I usually do everything twice.
Oh, my goodness.
Finish Line Farm has got a tack and farm supply sale today. They got one of those real big 25-foot hydraulic chain harrows. Those are monsters. You don't go with a little tractor. Got to have a pretty big tractor for that one. They got a 94 F-150 Ford truck, which, as I said, that's just broken in. F-150s are great trucks. It's only...
Ours are 350.
Uh-huh. Best truck ever made.
99, ours is.
Before they got goofy about the environment.
Yeah, every time we take it in, what's that place we take it to?
Cool air. Cool.
Cool breeze.
Cool breeze. Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
I forget the name of the road, but it's right off of Angliana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Came, anyway, they really did a great job.
Oh, he's fabulous. I'll tell you how we found this guy. We had to have a wrecker or something for once. Something didn't start, and it wasn't that truck. But that guy said, I'll tell you where to take it. That's where all the truck drivers take theirs, Cool Breeze.
Yeah, they did. This guy had a great big tow truck, and he said, that's where we take his.
Oh, Cool Breeze Air Conditioning and Auto Repair. Hey, thank you, Russie. Russie knew where it was in my pile of junk. That's on Curry.
Okay.
Off of Angliana. I'm going to give you his phone number. It's just tremendous. 254-0556.
Every time we take it in there, they want to buy it.
Yeah, there's always somebody. You want to sell that truck? No, buddy, I would never sell this truck. I love this truck.
Big Blue.
Big Blue, yes, got 90,000 miles on it.
Yeah. And it's how old now?
It's a 99.
So it's 11. It's going to be, no, it's 12. Anyway, that's the best darn truck ever made by anybody. It's just brilliant. Anyway, Tack and Farm Supply Sale, 5508 Russell Cave, Finish Line Farm. As I said, the National Horse Show, sponsored by Alltech, has been saved. It was about done. It's the oldest indoor horse show. It's a generally recognized hunter jumper. This is it. This is the world championship, United States Championship. It's been going on since the 1800s. And it kind of got old, and they redid, seems to me like they redid Madison Square Garden, and they were still there, but it wasn't as wonderful. And they went somewhere else in New York, begins with the letter S, and it wasn't Schenectady, but it didn't do well there either. But thanks to Alltech and Pierce Lyons, my word, this thing is stopped from being a memory. He saved it, and it starts November 1st. We got an invitation to the international recording artist Ronan Tynan, and it was Black Tie, and Ursa won't go. Daggone.
I don't own a black tie.
Well, see, if I had known our blacksmiths were going, I'd have tagged along with them.
I got a blue.
I got a black tie.
Well, Gypsy Robin won her first start last April in a maiden special at Keenan, won by 7.5 lengths, new record time. Sent to Great Britain for her second start, and her only start on grass, she was beaten just 3.5 lengths in the Group 2 Queen Mary Stakes. Came back to the USA. She was well-traveled, as you can tell. Ran fourth in the Grade 3 Schuylerville, and they shipped over to Monmouth Park, and she won the $101,000 Sorority Stakes. She's dead game, and she has brilliant speed just like her sire, DeHare. DeHare was retired late in the breeding season and is the sire of only 6 foals in his first crop, 2-year-olds this year. But he has demonstrated his ability to sire runners, and his first crop will race next year for his full crop. DeHare won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile and won 33-3, the Grade 2 Jerome and won 34-1. He is by Breeders' Cup Classic winner Awesome Again, the only Breeders' Cup Classic winner to sire Breeders' Cup Classic winner. A full brother to the Grade 1 Stakes winner Sponge Sugar, out of a stakes-winning mare, Irish Cherry, DeHare, is at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes. See the website, shadwellfarm.com. Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine is located on the corner of Ironworks Pike and Georgetown Pike. And that is Dr. Wes Sutter. That's Dr. Bill Bernard. And board-certified anesthesiologist, Dr. Lori Bidwell. And they're an elective surgery outpatient facility. You call them up, you make an appointment, and you bring your horse, tell them what's wrong. When they get there, they'll be all ready for you. They take care of your horse, and they send you home. And when you get the bill, they'll tell you up front what it's going to cost. And when you get the bill, that's what it is. It's going to be no add-ons, no surprises. And, of course, if the doctors there are superb. Dr. Wes Sutter is, of course, a board-certified surgeon. He completed his surgery residency at Ohio State. He was down at the Ocala Equine Hospital before he came up here with Rudin Riddle. And now, of course, he's at Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine with Dr. Bill Bernard, who spent some 17 years as a head of medicine out at Rudin Riddle, highly respected veterinarian. And he heads the outpatient medicine division at Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. And moving over with him from Rudin Riddle is Dr. Lori Bidwell, who's a board-certified anesthesiologist. They're top-class people. They do superb work. And their goal is to provide great service at a reasonable price. And their phone number is 987-0770. And it's Lexington Equine Surgery and Equine. And that is the, let's see, what is their website? I've got their website written down here. Here it is, LexingtonEquine.com. Can't go wrong with those nice people over there. And last Saturday at Belmont Park, the $200,000 Empire Classic was won by Hayes Field, a 5-year-old from the first crop by Sprightstown. Now, Hayes Field has won 8 stakes, including last year's Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup and Grade 2 Suburban. He's earned more than $1,306,000. He's one of 11 stakes winners and 23 stakes horses by Spitestown, a list which includes the 2011 stakes winner, Grade 1, Arch Arch Arch. He won the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby. Animal Spirits, winner of Keeneland's Grade 3 Bourbon Stakes, Grade 3 stakes winner Stage Door Betty, Saratoga stakes winner Alora Michelle, and 3 European stakes winners, including the 2-year-old Bapak Chinta, winner in Great Britain of the Group 2 Norfolk Stakes. Spitestown has sired 4 Grade 1 Stakes winners, 2 millionaires. Currently ranks among the top 10 on the North American sire list, and he's gained an international reputation for siring superior runners, and he's the leading son of Sire and Sires Gone West. Champion sprinter Sprightstown stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Robert Hammond. See the website, windstarfarm.com.
Run, old Molly, run, run, old Molly, run. Timber's gonna beat you to the bright shining sun.
Go ahead, Jackie, do that one, and then...
Okay, I'm still telling you that today you can still got time to get out to the 14th annual CKRH tax sale and Halloween trail ride. They always have so much fun because the kids get dressed up in costumes. So do some of the weird grown-ups. And they give prizes.
All you weird parents out there?
Right. Right. They've got, you know, riders 6 and under, 7 to 12, blah, blah, blah. Riders 19 and up and holding. So you can dress up like Urso Ellis or something where you're...
Without the black tie.
Without the black tie. So that's going on right now. You can ride till 3. If you remember Ye Olde Black Tulip out in Midway, absolutely fabulous restaurant. Well, it's been horticulturally moved. It is now the Tulip Bistro and Bar in Chevy Chase. Same great chef, Chef Spencer Vandendoel. Food is fabulous. It's a big hit. It's in Chevy Chase. So it's not far to go if you live in Lexington. They have wonderful food. They have terrific soups and salads. Entrees are great. They've got duck. They've got bouillabaisse, all kind. They really are good at fish and any kind of seafood. They can do oysters any way in the world that you want. They have lamb for dinner. They have seafood for dinner. Listen to this. Cherry white truffle cream sauce with black and Georgian shrimp, clams, something, I don't know what they are, but they were with us once, and now they're on plates. Anyway, this is a great restaurant. It's a treat to go there. It's at 355 Romney Road in Lexington and Chevy Chase. You can go to their website. It's thetulipbistroandbar.com. Or make reservations. It's important. 367-6687.
All right. I've got a little time. I'm going to try to talk about one of the... One of the top handicap horses in 1956. And that would be dedicated. It was by Prince Quillo. And a Denny by John P. Greer. Bred and owned by Mrs. Edward Burke, trained by the G.C. Winfrey. He was ranked on the handicaps that year. For older horses, he was ranked 1 pound below Bardstown and equal with Swoon's Son. And Prince Quillo, of course. Prince Quillo was the first male line descendant of St. Simon ever to head the sire list in North America. Now, St. Simon was by galloping. St. Simon was unbeaten. And he was the most successful stallion of his time in Europe. In fact, probably his only rival would be Lexington over Woodman Farm over here in Woodford County. And there was a time when St. Simon and his sons dominated British breeding. They headed the sire list 17 times in 21 years from 1888 until 1908. And the last of the St. Simons to lead the sire list was a Triple Crown winner, Persimmon, and that was in 1908. So anyway, Persimmon's best son was probably Prince Palatine, or Palatine. How would it be Palatine, wouldn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he was Prince Palatine was a noted distance runner, but he was infertile, and he did sire one nice horse in Rose Prince, and Rose Prince was a good runner, not a classic performer, but he was a good runner. He stood in England and in France, always low fees, and his only high-class son was Prince Rose, who was foaled in England in 1928. Prince Rose was bred by the Earl of Dunham, who died that same year. So he was sold as a weanling for 260 guineas to a Dr. H. Copping, who was, I believe he was a dentist. Anyway, he was from Belgium. And horse was taken to Belgium, and he became the best runner in the history of Belgium racing, as a matter of fact. Won stakes also in France. Ran third in the Arc, and when he did that, he was a Mr. L.L. Lawrence, who was from this country, had saw him run and liked him. And when Prince Rose stood for five seasons in Belgium, and then he was leased by Mr. Lawrence, who also owned a stud farm in France. So he was moved over to France. And during the Germans' retreat in 1944, after Normandy, we invaded there, you know, on D-Day, he was caught between German and American lines and was killed in his stall by an American shell. But Prince Rose had sired several good runners by that time. The best of them were Prince Quillo, Prince Bio, or Bio, and Prince Chevalier. And all three, of course, went on to become very successful sires. Lawrence sent the good race mare Cusquillo to Prince Rose in 1939. Later that year, he shipped her to England, and that's where Prince Quillo was foaled. In 1940, Prince Quillo was still a weanling, but he made a trip across the Atlantic, and of course that was in 1940, and the Nazis were sinking all kinds of shipping at that time, trying to keep us from supplying the English and the French with, you know, with war material over there. But he made it across, obviously. Yeah. Thank goodness we'd been minus a whole lot of good horses there. He arrived in the USA in really poor condition, and it took him a while to come out of it. He was, as a two-year-old, he was leased to a Mr. Anthony Pelletieri, and made his first start in New York at Jamaica for a $1,500 claiming price, and he was claimed in his third start for $2,500 by the Boone Hall stable, and that by a princess, somebody that I cannot pronounce her name, but her maiden name was Audrey Emery, and she was from Cincinnati. I'd handle that. So the princess from Cincinnati, yeah, owned her, and he continued to run in claiming races the rest of that season, his two-year-old season. At three, though, he finally matured some and ranked among the best three-year-olds of the year. Of course, that was Count Fleet's year, and Count Fleet, you know, his last start was in the Belmont Stakes, so he didn't run from June on. But Prince Quillo won the Saratoga Handicap at a mile and a quarter. He won a mile and three-quarter Saratoga Cup. Won the Jockey Club Gold Cup at 2 miles. Next year, he won the Merchants and Citizens at a mile and 3/16 and a mile and 5/8 questionnaire handicap. And he was what we would call at the time a cup horse, a stayer. And went to stud in Virginia, owned by the Princess from Cincinnati, and Mr. A.B. Hancock Sr. at Eldersley stud in Virginia. And, of course, as you say, the rest is history. Or is that, you know, it became a leading sire, eventually moved to Kentucky when his first crop started running. And dedicate, as a two-year-old in 1954, didn't win in 8 starts, so he was a slow coming around, too. Didn't run any claiming races, though, like his daddy did. Broke his maiden in his third start on April the 2nd at Jamaica, going 6 furlongs, and then proceeded to win 5 in a row, the last two in the Delaware Valley Stakes and the Jersey Stakes at Garden State. Won at Aqueduct in September, and in the last 2 starts as 3-year-old, he was 4th in Jerome and 3rd in the Woodward. Both won by traffic judge, by the way, who was by alibi. And as a 4-year-old, he was one of the best handicap horses in America. He won the Brooklyn, he won the Whitney, the Hawthorne Gold Cup, ran 2nd in the Suburban to Nashua, and ran 2nd in the Saratoga Cup to Paper Tiger, who was by Stymie, and ran 3rd in the Gallant Fox to Heliopolis, who was by, not Heliopolis, it was Summertime, was by Heliopolis. 12 starts in 1957. How much time have I got? I got 5 minutes. 12 starts in 1957, dedicate, had 5 wins, 4 seconds, and a third. That's 10 times in the money. He won 5 races by less than a length, and 4 of them in photos. He was second to third brother in a buoy. Got beat a nose, conceding the winner 8 pounds. He won the John B. Campbell handicap at Bowie by a nose over third brother, giving the winner 6 pounds. He was giving the loser 6 pounds, I should say. He ran second by head to Portersville in the 7 furlong Carter, giving up 15 pounds. He ran second by 3/4 of length to Traffic Judge, giving him 8 pounds in the Met Mile. Ran third in the Suburban, got beat a neck by Traffic Judge in Lofty Peak. Won the Monmouth handicap over third brother, giving him 5 pounds, and finished first in the Atlantic City handicap, and they disqualified him to last. Out of the money, it's in the Saratoga handicap, won by Reneg. And the Gallant Man, he got beat by Gallant Man in the Nassau County handicap. He won the Woodward, beating Gallant Man and Bold Ruler. They were both 3-year-olds. The last start, he won a special race, no betting at Garden State. And ended up in his career with 42 starts, 25 wins, 8 seconds and a third, and earnings of $269,000. Wasn't much of a sire. You got Smart Dave, who was a champion, 2-year-old filly, and Natalma, who won the, Natashka, rather, won the Alabama. That's about it. And so I finally got Dedicate out of the way.
Bless him.
Bless him, bless him. Well, Lionel David is a grade 1 stakes winner from the Stormcat sire line and the female family of Mr. Prospector. His sire is the multiple grade 1 stakes winner Millionaire Lionheart, who has sired 36 stakes horses, 19 stakes winners in his first 3 crops. And he currently ranks 5th on the 2-year-old sire list with 22-year-old winners. Lionheart is by Taylor the Cat, who ranks 8th on the 2011 general sire list. And Taylor the Cat is the son of champion sire Stormcat. Lionel David's Dam is by the outstanding sire Capote, who sired 63 stakes winners, and he's the son of Seattle Slough. And he's out of a daughter raising 80 from the family of Mr. Prospector. And there are many great sires in Lionel David's pedigree. Lionel David led from wire to wire to win the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, beating such Grade 1 stakes winners as Super Saver in Dublin and Noble's Promise. And the Arkansas Derby was his third straight wire-to-wire victory. Lionel David successfully completed his first season of stud this year, and he'll have the numbers going for him in his favor when his first crop reaches the races in 2000 and, well, it'll be next year, won't it? No. It'll be 3 years from now. He stands at Spencer Farm. Contact Ken Wilkin, Des Dempsey, or Sean Fell, or Ned Toffee, and ask about possible breeding incentives. The number is 294-0030, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that's...
All righty, well, since last week, we have had 11 winners from the Thoroughbred Center win, and the trainers of said winners were, not necessarily in order, but yeah, well, pretty much so, John Langemeyer, Jim Dodgen, Wayne Mogi, Jimmy Cargan, A.T. Skinner, Paul Garcia, William March, David Atkins, who is our guest today, Byron G., better known as Scooter Hughes, and Jimmy Cargan. Jimmy's had, since the 23rd, what's the day? 5 days, he had 3 winners down in Mountaineer. They're going to rule him off. They're going to move Jimmy off, move him off from, what are you flinching about over there?
My microphone.
Okay, well, they're playing our getaway.
They're playing our song, which is what I was listening for, because I want to say that if you want to listen to this live on a computer around the world, it's WLXG.com, and this show will be put up on UrselEllis.com this weekend. So if you want to listen to this again.
Okay.
So.
Again? Yeah.
Well,
wake up all those Chinese over there. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. And thank you, Don Air, Mary Jane, and Ressie here at the clocker stand.